Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Okay, welcome to another installment of Early Call Time with your hosts, J.J. Zuber and Andrew Geiger.
Goddammit.
With J.J. Geiger, Andrew Zuber, and that third guy, Nadav Itzkowitz.
I had a dream about our podcast, by the way.
Did you?
What was it?
My dream was that...
Oh, boy, this is going to be sexual, isn't it?
I was... No.
Okay, good.
I was running...
Oh, accent?
I was... What?
Did you start with a Sean Connery accent?
I was running late to the podcast. No. I was running late to get here. Mm-hmm. So I
and that's
acknowledge,
hard to do because you live here.
I know. Mm. I acknowledge it wasn't actually here. It was in like a big lodge and there was a big fireplace in the corner.
What?
It's very nice.
That's a nice
and we
dream.
Had an audience.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel I was running late. I acknowledge that and I apologize to you, JJ, up front.
Yeah.
For running late. But wow. I was working
Did
on this
Did you apologize
pilot.
To me too?
You weren't there. So I feel
okay. That's fair.
JJ really got the bad end. You're lucky that you weren't there. It's
sure.
Like mommy and daddy getting into a big fight, and you were out of the house.
You know, that's funny, because my mom and dad have totally said that to me before on pretty major family events.
Mommy and daddy?
It's better off you weren't there, son. You couldn't handle it.
Okay.
I've had people in my family die, and nobody tells me until I call home to see how things are going.
Yeah, have you ever had that before? Like you call
yeah,
like,
I have.
Hey, so you know we're going to you know so and so's 1 year death anniversary. It's like I didn't even know they were dead. Well, you didn't ask.
What?
And so now
did I have to?
So now every time I talk with my parents, I'm like, hey, before you know, we start off with
die?
The pleasantries. Did anyone die? Did anyone get married? Or did any babies get birthed? I always start off with those three questions, and if it's no, it's like, all right, I'm in the know.
Makes
I
sense.
Did my part.
That's fair.
I tried to.
That's I feel cool. your
you
pain.
You talk to your parents. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
What's that like?
There's some underlying issues.
No.
So I was running late. So I sent you a text, and I just said, I'm on my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a response.
Hmm.
But I figured maybe you were busy talking to the audience. I don't know why there's
right.
an audience.
Right.
So I show up.
That's awesome.
And you are talking on the podcast to Steve Miner, who's the director of the pilot that I'm working on.
What?
And Shelley Johnson, who is our DP. And I didn't even know they were going to be on the show. So I went up to you and I was like, oh, well, thanks for starting without me. And you go over to your phone and you text me back. And I look over and all I see is the word jerk on your phone in the response that you're writing to me. And you get like 3/4 of the way through sending it and you just go, you know what? Fuck it. And you throw your phone down really hard. And then you walk into the kitchen of whatever this lodge is that we have where we're doing the show. And you pour yourself a shot glass full of scotch, and I run up to you, and I put my hand over the shot glass to keep you from drinking it, and you are so furious, and then I woke up.
Did you wake up just, like, shielding your face from getting hit?
Wow.
Like, oh, no, don't, not the face.
I like that version of me.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, that phone is broken. He threw it really hard.
I like that assertively aggressive JJ.
Me too.
He's going to go drink.
I need to do
and
that.
I stopped you.
That's a mistake. Don't get in the way of an Irishman and his booze.
Only 9%.
Only 9%.
But yeah.
So anyway.
That's an amazing story. We had an audience.
We did. Like there were a lot of people.
In
and
your
I was like.
Dreams.
I did.
That's pretty punny.
Oh,
I'm a pretty
boy.
Punny guy.
Oh, boy.
Anyway,
maybe.
Anyway, should we talk about what the subject, the topic of today's episode?
Yeah, I'd like to.
So
know.
we're going to be talking about film festivals, what it's like to submit to them, what it's like to participate in them, what you could possibly get out of the experience, things of that nature.
All right.
So what's your guys' experience with film festivals?
Non-existent. No,
nothing.
I had. I had a movie that I put together in college get shown at a film festival once.
Cool.
But most of the time when I've put stuff out into the world, because I don't know anybody on the film festival commission or whatever, I don't get aired or screened.
Because that's the way that these work. It's if you submit to a film festival, you're not necessarily going to get screened. There's a whole process. First, you submit. then there's a reviewal, and they decide if you're good enough to even be screened, and then are you good enough to win after that?
Yeah, yeah, and I don't even get to the screening part.
And it's not free, by the way.
It isn't.
Oh, it is a racket.
It's a big racket. I mean, sometimes I think the LA Film Festival, Short Film Festival, was like $40, mm-hmm. $50, like...
Okay.
Yeah, Holly Shorts was, I think, $70, depending, like, what deadline you chose.
There is a trick, though. Oh,
here we go.
There is a trick. If you call them and say, hey, I've got this actor and this actor and this actor, would you be willing to waive the fee?
Oh.
A lot of times they will.
Because they want those people to show up and make their festival look legit.
What if you have no one in your film?
Then you're fucked.
No tricks. No tricks.
No tricks. No tricks, because I don't have very many people. In the films that I've done, I didn't have very many people in mine. Didn't really work out.
You know, I could tell you my film festival experience. It's mostly in college. I did some 24-hour film festivals. I went to UC Irvine. They have something over there called the Mad Film Dash. And so I did it, I think, 2 or 3 years, where it was me, my buddy, his name is Jonathan David, who also works in the industry, but, you know, that's probably a common name.
What does he do?
He'll probably call himself a filmmaker, one of those guys. Okay. But, you know, like, he likes to write his things, he likes to direct his things, he likes to edit his things.
Sure.
Because he's, you
know... So he's a one-man band, you're saying?
He's a one-man band. He's one of those people that multiple times he's told me ideas where I think... Dude, that sounds expensive as fuck. We don't have a budget. What are you even thinking? Like, we can't pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
And then by him having his hand in every step of the process, including editing, it turns out exactly the way he described it to me, even better than how I imagined it. I'm like, okay.
Hmm.
You know, there's not a lot of people that could do that. But, you know, my friend John is definitely one of them.
I know a few people like that.
Yeah. So I did 2 or 3 festivals with him, and those were all shit shows. If I could say one thing, 24-hour film festivals are a fucking
nightmare. You had 24-hour. You didn't have 48?
It was 24. The way it worked out was at the zero-hour mark, all the teams were there for, like, the kickoff or the launch or whatever.
Yeah.
You grab your envelope, which has your prompt, which is, like, you had to, like, pick a genre. You had a quote that you had to incorporate.
Mm-hmm.
You had a prop that you had to incorporate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you had to, like, pick 1 or 2 or 3 genres that they gave you to pick from. So it was pretty vague, but you could pretty much make it and incorporate these things.
You have to be creative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I remember we did it.
We had one.
And, you know, my buddy John, he always wears his heart on the sleeve. He always, you know, gives it 110%. And when, you know, he doesn't win awards, you know, I think it takes a lot out of you when you realize you gave it your all and you still get nothing back.
Sure.
So, I mean, and every one of those festivals is definitely like a mark in my college career of the drunkest I've been. I don't know if that says anything about how fun film festivals could be.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where first, you know, it's a wicked good pre-party, and then like we find out that we lose or that we didn't get screened, and then, you know, then the real drinking starts.
Wait a second. Right. So even at the 24-hour festivals?
Well, because originally when we first started doing it, like, it was maybe like the 10th annual, and like there were teams, but there weren't a stupid amount of teams.
Okay.
Like by the second or third year that we did it, or that we participated in it, like it was going on for a while, and just the amount of teams that participated, like, it would have been like a 12-hour event if they showed everyone stuff.
Interesting.
I mean, not a 12-hour event, that's an exaggeration, but like a 6-hour event, and no one wants to sit down for 6 hours, especially at like a university.
And not at a film festival of any kind. Mm-hmm.
So like, oh man. And I, so those festivals were all nightmares.
Yeah.
But you know what? Out of the 3 years that we did it, we did one thing that I was actually very proud of, and it was very cool. And actually after that, my buddy John, you know, just to show people what film festivals could do, about 2 or 3 years ago, he submitted one of his shorts to, I'm pretty sure it was the Holly Shorts Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Holly Shorts?
That's what we did.
Yeah,
You
guys did a red carpet for Holly Shorts.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
So he submitted, was it Holly Shorts or was it like LA Comedy Film Festival? Mm-hmm. It was one of
that
those.
That sounds familiar too.
It was one of those two. And he screened his short that he made with two of his friends, one of which I know, Aaron Friedland and I think John Rosen or Jason Rosen. Mm-hmm. They made something called Players, which was like a really fun short. It was pretty much. These two, they created these two characters completely made out of paper.
Oh, that is a good short.
Put them into a real life scenario. So they put two paper characters in a bar, and one of them like picks up a chick, And, like, there's a whole thing with a rock, paper, scissors characters. And it's, like, really cleverly done.
Yeah.
And I don't think they ended up winning or getting any type of awards from that. But but my friend John actually got approached by a production company and now has, like, a development deal working out to create more content with those characters. And that was... You know, that was a stupid idea that he said he came up with. He was like, you know what? I don't even know if this is good. Let's just shoot it. Oh, here's a film festival we could submit it into. And now he's working on some sort of development deal.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, I don't even know if he saw that coming with this idea.
Right.
But, you know, that just shows you where submitting something to one festival could get you.
That's a story that doesn't happen very often.
Sure, but that's not,
I
you know.
I am sorry for yawning.
Yeah, don't do that, man. Not to the mic.
I'm sorry.
You punch yourself before you yawn.
Well, we did, JJ and I did the 48-hour festival.
That was fun.
LA.
That was fun.
That was,
what was that like? 48
well, we
hours.
Had the, yeah, 48 hours.
So what was the time frame on that? Like what, like,
so
how did you divvy that?
Our group met at the producer's house, and we sent someone down to the place where they were picking up, where they were handing out the genre. So yeah, we had a genre, one genre. We didn't get to choose. We got sci-fi, and we were instantly like, oh, dude. And the alternate, if you didn't go with your original genre, was going to be something that nobody would ever want to do. So I think our alternate would have been like Western musical. So we're like, yeah. I guess we'll go with sci-fi. And then our prop had to be three or more potatoes. We had to have a character that was a game show host named Ronald Donaldson. We had to have the line of dialogue was, leave it to me, I'm a professional.
Right.
And,
oh, God, I remember that.
Yeah,
that's that. On the internet.
It is on.
With
we'll
two
put
bars
a link
of tone.
Up. Yeah, two bars of tone at the beginning. We'll put a link up to it. Yeah, so we had somebody there, so she could do that and then just basically call us and be like, here's what you're doing.
Yep.
We started writing. You know, we had the equipment. We had the people. We shot some of it at the producer's house, and we went to my house in Glendale.
We shot that night, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to my house in Glendale, shot in the backyard. Took a little bit of a break, I think, for a few hours the next morning. Then went back to shoot near my house, and then... we went to JJ's office and cut the thing. I wrote some music for it on the piano.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
And we did it all. We cut it at Sunset Gower.
Yeah,
the Sunset Gower Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
well, I worked I worked on a job that was...
How long ago was this?
2008?
Yeah, I think fall. Fall? 2008?
Summer.
So how did you guys deal with the whole... Because I know when we did the 24-hour festival, it was like... It was... All right, we picked it up. We... Oh, God. And after one of them, my fraternity, like, just had, like, a formal. Where we were, it was like a booze cruise. And the booze cruise docked at 11:30 p.m. And we were getting our prompt at midnight.
Oh,
so I'm not going to say we drove there because that's irresponsible, but somehow we got to campus.
We hitchhiked.
We hitchhiked to campus. We took
our
bus.
Own cars.
Yes.
We took a bus to campus. And
how long ago was that?
This was, I don't know. Let's see. It's 2014. So let's call it 2009. Five years ago.
Almost through the statute of limitations. Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, you know, what was the statute?
Seven years.
7 years? All right, we'll release this in two more years.
We meant it's 2016.
But you know what? I didn't even admit to anything because we took a taxi. I want to tell everyone we took a taxi.
A taxi bus.
And like we collectively wrote it in the process of getting hungover. So we wrote our script hungover, and then we shot it throwing up even more hungover. And then I...
Why would you do that to
yourself? And then I edited it like hungover. No, and what's crazy is that year we came up with the best thing we ever came up with. Like, that was our best year.
Really?
Didn't get screened, though.
See, ours, they screened all of them.
Yeah, they screened. They only had, like, 10.
There were different nights, though. Like, we were the sci-fi night or the three potatoes night or something like
but
that.
But the reason why I brought that up, though, is how did you guys, like, split it up? Like, was there, like, a post team where it was, like, you guys were feeding them footage or...
It was JJ, who was on set the whole time as well. So we shot it on my Canon XL1.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a crane. One of the best shots of anything
it was
I've ever seen.
Completely coincidental.
It was, so we have a home, the movie is called The Eyes, and it's about people being attacked by potatoes that come from outer space.
Solid.
So we have a shot where there's this homeless guy that's asleep in a park, and the potato comes in from space and flies over him, and it rustles the paper that he's sleeping under,
yeah.
and then crashes in the park. So this is glowing red potato. So we have the shot of the crane with the crane of the guy sleeping, and we kind of pull out, and the, you know, obviously we did the potato in post.
We did a CGI
potato. CG potato.
Oh, wow.
But somehow the shadow, there was a natural shadow that hit the paper right where we put the potato, and the paper just like lifted at the right time. So the whole thing looks
seamless.
Like it was completely on purpose.
But it was the biggest, happiest accident that
we should just put a link to that part of the movie.
I know.
And that only.
But yeah, we did. I mean, we hung a potato with a string, I think, and then you, I don't know if you photoshopped it out or gave it a glow so it could be floating over downtown Burbank.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
It was classy. It was classy.
There were some good movies. We didn't win anything.
No. There's one where there's an elaborate studio where this guy's like playing like...
Yeah, there was like music. He had some fancy organ or
weird.
Something.
But it was cool. It was cool.
It was well done.
But you, going into them, you know, at these 48-hour or 24-hour film festivals, you can see the people that already had the story idea involved.
Oh, yeah, and then just kind of applying their prompts to it.
Yeah, exactly, which is kind of cheating in a way. I remember we had this huge argument after the 48-hour film festival.
When you threw your phone and then went into the kitchen to get a drink.
And asked for some scotch, and there was no fucking scotch.
Sorry, man.
No, we had this... It was Michelle. No ill will. I mean, it's water under the bridge. But we had this conversation like, oh, we're going to do the 48-hour film festival next year. Let's write a script now. That way we don't have to worry about it later. And I'm like, that's cheating. And I don't want to be a part of that.
And it's so difficult. I think it makes more work for you.
Yeah, it's even
harder.
Because
then you've got to figure out how to fit that mold that you've created. Because
you've put so much time into the script where it's like, if we don't use the script, then we wasted X amount of time for writing it.
Exactly. So you're spending all that time trying to figure out how to make this, you know, script that was a romantic comedy into a science
like
fiction
squeezing
movie.
A square peg into a round hole.
Yeah. Yep. You're going to spend just as much time writing it.
Yeah.
The pressure was fun. We didn't sleep for 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean, people slept in intervals, I guess.
I can't remember.
Oh, and the shot of the potato flying up at that guy and hitting him in the face. There was some guy who was like decided he was going to hitchhike across the country, like actually.
Oh, God.
So he had a backpack and like hiking poles with him, which I will never understand the point of, by the way.
It's so it shares the load of
I
your
guess,
body.
Whatever. But yeah,
it
looks
really
does weird.
Help. It does help.
I'm just saying. So he gets attacked by a potato. Spoiler alert.
You know what? Go ahead.
What?
Well, I was going to say, he gave us these DVDs to watch, and he's like, oh, you should send them to me when I'm done. I forgot to send them.
He did?
Yeah, I have them in the living room.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm a dick. I just realized that now.
Oh.
All right, guys. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have just witnessed to JJ kind of fucking up and dropping the ball here, and don't do that if you want to get on with things.
Do not give DVDs to JJ to watch and then hike to Minnesota.
Yeah, I've never seen the guy ever again. And the director that was friends with him, also, I have never seen since. So,
but I directed
that. I mean, the DP.
Who was that guy?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we remember what happened the following year where we didn't do the festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, someone got upset at you for not doing a festival?
No, he wanted to direct one, which was fine.
But you guys were
But his idea of what to do, we were just like, have fun. Plus, he was not that, what?
He wanted to do a musical.
He wanted to do a musical, and he was...
He wanted to do the Western musical that you guys were like, no one's going to do this.
Yes, and again, this is the thing where it was like before the whole thing had even started. He's like, we're doing a musical. It'll be great. And
yeah. Well, and
they went ahead with it. I don't know how it turned out.
Well, leads back to what I was saying. They wanted to write all this stuff, and they wanted to write all this music beforehand.
Right.
I'm like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, that's cheating. Like, why do you want to cheat on a 48-hour film festival?
Yeah.
It's like,
that's
the point
like cheating
of doing
in
those,
the Special Olympics.
The point of doing those is to see if you could do it and like
in 48 hours.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a fun restraint. Like,
yeah, that's the point of it.
Limitations creates creativity.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think our movie was fun.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was funny. I think it's funnier that I have 2 minutes of Bars and Tone at the front of it in YouTube.
Yeah,
but whatever. I don't know why it happened or how.
Have you been to other festivals, like screenings of films at festivals? I went to one in Seattle. It was really terrible.
That's cool. I went to the Holly Shorts one last year where I saw my friend John's. I saw his Players, by the way. And if anyone wants to see it online, you could just look up Jonathan David Players, and you should be able to see it.
That's cool.
It's a fun little thing. How would people find your potato?
We're going to post a link.
Yeah.
Finding it, for whatever reason, is insanely difficult.
Really?
Even though it's on YouTube with all the right tags.
Hmm. Weird.
So we'll just post it on the website.
We'll find it.
And then, actually, this year, I have two things submitted to the Holly Shorts Film Festival.
Oh, you do?
I edited on our buddies Justin Mimovich and Nicholas Holmes. They put together something called Earthquake Envy that I edited that's going to be making the festival.
I have not seen that.
And also a sketch that I wrote, co-directed, starred, and edited
it. It's really funny, dude.
Oh,
you submitted that?
I did. I submitted it.
We already miss the deadline for that festival?
You did. It was like Friday.
Yeah.
But actually, they just did their first annual. So I submitted those two.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly Shorts is doing their first annual script writing contest.
Hmm.
Where 15 pages and under, the top three get announced in like August. Mm-hmm. Then of those top three, the sponsors that are sponsoring the film festival within the next 12 months will produce that script that you wrote if you're the winner and will be screened at next year's festival.
That's really neat.
So So I wrote something with one of my buddies from college like years ago. Yeah, it was Rapazine.
Oh, that's awesome.
So me and my buddy, Billy, we came up with these two characters. Think like Beastie Boy. Fuck, should I even be pitching it on here? Cause,
I don't know.
Why not? Why not, right? Yeah. The basic idea is, Beastie Boys meets Entourage minus success, which I've definitely used to describe other things, but... that's pretty much it. The ongoing joke, they're called Rapazoid, spelled just like trapezoid, but the way it's spelled, everyone calls them Rapezoid. So that's a funny ongoing joke. So who knows? I submitted it, and that's the thing with festivals is sometimes, as long as you just keep on making things, you should always be submitting to festivals, because who knows?
Yeah.
That's how people find you. Even if you don't win, someone important might be there and see it and be like, you know what? I want to give this guy a chance. Or this girl a chance. Mm-hmm. I want to develop them and see what they make next time.
Well, as a double-edged sword, what about the internet? What about just uploading it to the
web? That's true. Well, see, here's what I noticed is with the internet, I feel like it's more of a numbers game. Like, you have to put way more stuff out there before stuff gets noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, on your first thing, submit something to a festival, and someone will notice it right away. Granted, that's very unlikely, but I mean, just as likely as, your first thing on the internet making a huge hit.
I think there can be downsides, though, because I have a friend who just wrapped a feature, and there's been talk about whether or not to take it to Sundance. And sometimes that's not necessarily the right audience
for
something.
Right. And,
the talk was like, well, what if it gets into Sundance, how can that hurt? And her manager's argument was, well, it can hurt. It can.
How can it hurt?
It might not be the right. The thing is, you can make a movie that the people at Sundance think is great for whatever reason, or maybe it's the same thing. You've got a name actor or something like that. But at the same time, everybody's going to see that because it's Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not well received,
that's what you're going to be known as.
Then, you've just a whole lot of important people in the business have now seen something that you did that just wasn't right for that particular market. Granted, it's Sundance. It's not like they're going to, pick up a bunch of really bad movies.
Right.
I think they know their market, and she had a film that was in Sundance in 2001 and won an award, and that's really what's gotten her a lot of work.
Well, I know, for example, there was the woman, the director that did, remember that movie Green Street Hooligans with Elijah Wood?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The woman that did that originally, I think that was the first movie that she directed. And before that, she made her first short film, and it won an Academy Award, randomly.
Yeah, I know the director you're talking about.
I remember hearing her on...
How Did This Get Made?
Yeah, How Did This Get Made podcast with Paul Scheer and... Jason Mantzoukas,
and Raphael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I forgot. Yeah, I haven't listened to that podcast. I haven't either. It's so good.
But yeah, her example was that she was she got to direct films, and then what was the movie she did?
Punisher. Yeah, The Punisher.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when you hear a director talk about a movie that, like, she specifically said, she was like, "Now look, I didn't think I was gonna like get an Academy Award for a short film, and I didn't do that just for the hopes of one day being able to direct the fifth installment of the Punisher movie." So when she directed it, like, she did all this crazy shit in the movie where it was like people legitimately said this was a good Punisher movie, even though it was like the third or the fourth or the fifth one.
Right.
Because she did all these things that she pretty much tackled all these cliches, like, and I didn't see the movie, but I'm grabbing all this from the podcast that I heard where they interviewed this director. But, like, I remember, like, parkour guys were a big deal in action movies. Where if you had an action movie, you had parkour guys doing crazy parkour stuff.
Right.
And she set up these parkour guys to do crazy stuff and then just had the Punisher beat the shit out of them. And, like, everyone said it was, like, the highlight of the movie. And it's, like, you could know what self-awareness, I think I'm trying to say, is adds a whole lot to a movie. Like, if the movie knows what it is, then it could completely turn, like, a B-movie into the best B-movie ever, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you can...
Saying that Punisher is a B-movie, but, I mean, I think you get
If you can reflect, you know, what it is to the audience, like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
This is, you know, a zombie killing a clown. You know, we understand. It's funny.
It's like, we get this is pretty far-fetched, but we're going to make it awesome. What was that? I mean, pretty much any Jason Statham movie. But what's the one where, like, it was like Speed, but Jason Statham's the bus?
Crank.
Like, yeah. Crank was very self-aware.
Oh, Crank was great.
Like, they knew. It was so good. We knew it was a one-note thing, but you just made that note louder.
Speaking of Crank, there was a sequel to Crank as well.
Crank 2, Crank's Revenge.
Yeah. Is that what it was called?
I don't think so.
I don't know. He's like falling out of a plane every
sequel,
and stuff.
Every sequel is called that to me.
Yeah.
Blank 2, Blank's Revenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Home Alone 2, Home's Revenge.
But anyway, I think deep down festivals are great. There's a plus and minus for all of them, but...
And I think, go ahead.
But I think it's always a good experience to be a part of one. If it's
a 24-hour one.
If it's a 24-hour or a 48-hour or you're submitting or even if you're volunteering. There's a lot of opportunities to volunteer in film festivals. There
are. Yeah, I mean, film festivals really are, I mean, what you should look at is not like I really want to win this award, but it puts you in the presence of all these, like, it's a giant networking opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all these people are, you know, the spotlight's on you. And you get to, you know, show people, hey, I'm at least this good.
Yeah, there are lots of filmmakers out there.
Well, a lot of people go and they don't have anything in. A lot of people go to Sundance every year. A lot of people go to Cannes every year just to...
Is it Cannes? Is it Cannes? Is it Cannes?
I think it's Cannes.
I always called it Cannes.
I don't. They go to France.
Kanye's. I called it the Kanye's. The Kanye's Film Festival.
Ooh, I'll pass.
Cannes? Well, does anyone call it Cannes?
Someone does somewhere.
The Cannes Film Festival.
Cannes.
If
you're curious about film festivals, you can go on withoutabox.com.
What is Without a Box?
Without a Box is where you can submit your work to film festivals, and you can go through... And your mind will be blown at how many different film festivals.
That's true. I just signed up for Without a Box for this Holly Shorts Film Festival.
Yeah.
And like multiple times a week, Without a Box sends me something saying, hey, you should submit your film to this festival or this festival.
And it's always like the Reykjavik 12-second animated musical festival. And that's all that they're accepting. And, you know, oh, sorry, we're closed. We have too many submissions. It's like they're everywhere.
What else is actually also very cool Without a Box? Justin was telling me this, Justin Mimovich, is that if you submit to film festivals using Without a Box, meaning that you make an account Without a Box and you make an account with Without a Box, you submit your film, like you upload it through that and everything through Without a Box, Without a Box will automatically update everyone's IMDb page.
Yes,
with
awesome.
That submission. Like, the rule for IMDb used to be it has to be screened at a festival, but Without a Box, it literally just needs to be submitted.
Oh,
which is not even accepted?
Yeah, that's what we've noticed. Now, granted, this is possibly a loophole that IMDb will close immediately because they listen to every single podcast that we make.
But I've actually read about it. Yeah. Like, IMDb says that specifically on their page. There's something about it. Or might be without a box. One of the two.
Well, that's good to know for anybody that wants to get an IMDb page.
Yeah, that's why my IMDb page looks a lot better than it's supposed to be looking.
Mine is empty.
It's going to be full soon, buddy. Don't worry.
I love you, man. Sorry I was late to the taping of
the podcast. It's okay. It's okay. I'll drink my scotch. Just leave me be.
Don't throw your phone like that.
So, I mean, do you guys have anything else to say about podcasts? Or, I mean, about film festivals?
No. No, I think that wraps it right up.
Because with
I think we're completely done with this show entirely.
See, you would think that, but actually, guys, it's time for another trivia game with Nadav and the sound bites of his childhood.
Oh, that is a good one. Actually, that's a great title for this.
I didn't even redline on that, did I?
Oh, I don't know. Probably. I wasn't paying attention to the board. That's not horrible. My job.
Okay. Whoa. Well, my job literally is to have my back to the board so I can talk to you guys on a humane level.
Yeah.
But so now we're going to transition into the trivia game. We played this once already. Yep. JJ and Andrew, we have determined, are really bad at it.
We're never going to win these games.
That I wasn't in your childhood brain.
Okay, but the fact that you don't know basic bites from Jurassic Park and The Matrix, like, that's not my fault.
I can't wait for someone to actually listen to these and say, how the fuck am I going to guess that?
No, I'm not going to lie. I totally tried to make today's game easier.
Like you said last time.
Right. This is super easy. You're going to get it for sure.
Now, I'm going to say that because it's easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Although, with that being said, the first one is hard.
Go fuck yourself.
Although, I've decided now to make the bites longer unless they're absolutely iconic. Like the ones from last game.
I don't think
they're
going to
be 5 seconds of silence. What is that? You guys, that's Lorenzo's oil. No, How did you not get that?
You know what would be iconic for The Matrix, by the way? Because The Matrix was one of them.
Hmm.
Take the red pill or the blue pill. That would be iconic.
See, but that's also giving it away.
That's iconic. Saying, not like this, that's not iconic.
But it's an iconic part of the movie.
Sure. How is that possible?
Sure, that's not what, like, Hollywood remembers, but that's what we remember.
Just
no.
You.
Well, then fuck me, right, guys? I'm sorry.
It's your game.
Okay, yeah, that's
it's
right.
Your game.
It is my game, and you guys are deciding to play. And with that, let's play the sound bites from Nadav's childhood trivia game. Here we go, guys.
This is going to get marketed one day.
It will. I'm going to take this off.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, what, you do what feels right. No, I'm gonna fucking take my mic off too.
I'm gonna leave mine right where it is.
Okay, guys. Oh shit, spinning wheel of death.
Oh great.
Okay,
cool.
Good.
The dog's game.
We can
crash my computer.
We can pause this.
Okay, guys. This is
definitely.
This is the first one. Let me. Good. All right. This is the first one. Don't look at the screen, JJ.
I will not
play fair. But if you see it, mouth it to me.
This one you guys will not get. Probably.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
good. I'm listening.
Right. Setting us up for failure.
Here we go. Oh, fuck. Here's an ad. Give me 3 seconds, guys.
Okay, here we go. What are you laughing at, pig boy?
Is it Sandlot?
Nope. Oh, it looks like the gears are working in Andrew's head.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
That seems like it's something that I should know if I've seen the movie.
That is something you should know, because I could see that it is trapped within the anals of your mind.
The anal glands of your mind.
The annals. Do you guys want to hear it again?
Yeah.
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 One more time.
No, fine. Well, all right. Here it is.
Bleep, 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 bleep. What are you laughing at, pig boy?
Let's maybe try and dissect it. Who do you think that voice sounds like?
It sounds like... Am I weird to say that it sounds like Brad Pitt in a way?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You are.
That is very weird if that sounds like Brad Pitt to
is
you.
Is it an African-American gentleman?
Ding, 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 ding. Although there is more than one in Hollywood, so...
Oh.
That narrows it down by not a lot.
We're screwed.
But definitely more than half, probably, even... One more time? You guys want to hear it again?
Yeah. I think three is a limit. And then
three is totally the limit.
I think that's fair.
Three is the limit.
Bleak, 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 bleak. What are you laughing at, pig boy?
Oh, it's Major Payne.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding.
Fuck yes.
That never is Damon it. Wayans. Bullshit. You never saw Major Payne?
No.
So good. It oh is a good God. Movie.
Major Payne is amazing.
It's a good movie.
Major Payne is like
holy
Hillary.
Shit.
Hillary from Fresh Prince is in it.
I think I blacked out
she's
a little.
She's in anything other than Fresh Prince?
Yep. That's the other one that she's in.
Wow.
Wow. I did it.
Yeah, very good. Holy crap. So
you got one last
JJ,
week,
JJ. Yeah, but here's the thing is that JJ got one that I thought was the hard one.
Yes.
Which is amazing. That's very good. That's very impressive.
Well, I was going to break it down, this last one. I was going to break it down. I was like, okay, so he's calling someone a pig boy. What kind of character would do that? And then I was like, somebody that's in the military. Yeah. And then that's what got me to Major Payne.
I gotcha. I like hearing about your process.
And that's crazy because you thought that sounded like Brad Pitt, which would have thrown me off if I was like military
you know
spy
what,
game.
But you know what? Because it sounded like Brad Pitt in Inglourious Bastards.
Okay. All right. I could see that.
So it makes sense because he was
it.
Like in a military guy talking down to his guys. Anyway.
Okay. Right. So JJ has 1 point.
Ding, ding.
Andrew has 0 points. And Nadav has 0 points.
Yes.
Here's the next one. Hey, guys, by the way, I just want to let you know.
Yes.
This one's easy.
Sweet. Ghostbusters.
And
Goonies.
Spanish Armada.
Billy Madison.
Ah, Billy 1588.
Yep. That is correct.
That's my... I was trying to do it.
Correct.
I was trying to find it so just that is correct.
Oh, I would have got that.
But it's like... plus the score,
as soon
it gets everything
Spanish
away.
Armada. Yeah.
Geez, okay, so who got that one first?
1863.
He technically got it first.
1591.
What do you mean by technically? What about
please, God, give me the answer.
Did he also
un-technically,
get it
we both got it.
Untechnically, we both got it.
With no
I said
time,
it first.
With no time, okay. JJ
I said
gets
it first.
2 points.
I said it. You know what we could do? We could just say our names. We could say JJ, and that would be our buzzer.
No, that would be good. Why don't you do that?
Kay.
Your buzzer is your name.
Okay.
All right, so JJ has 2 points. JJ has 2 points. Everyone else has 0 points.
Great.
Guys, this one also, by the way.
Easy?
Super easy.
I hope so.
Yeah, see, this is proof that it is way easier than last week, because JJ has 2 of 2 points so far.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm retarded.
You're a retard.
It's true.
Yeah.
You can maybe already tell what that is.
Stop staring.
Oh, they're staring into each other's eyes now.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's the next one.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like
Andrew.
Your opinion, man.
Yeah,
the
Andrew.
Big Lebowski.
Yep,
I forgot
right.
to say my name.
Ah, you were going to say it, though.
Yeah, it was.
Let's,
nice job, buddy.
Let's hear it one more time. Let's...
Yeah, well,
that's
you
like
know, that's just like...
Your opinion, man.
Your opinion, man.
Can you do your imitation of...
Yeah, well, that's just like your opinion, man.
That's
I do
a
it a little bit different. No, I'm not going for Jeff Bridges. I'm going
no.
for
Tommy Chong.
For a college stoner dropout.
You
yeah,
do
you
it
know
as Tommy,
Tommy Chong.
Chong.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy?
It's like
I actually
your
saw,
opinion, man.
I saw Cheech and Chong
so
with War at the Greek Theater.
Really?
Like a week or two ago.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately, I can't tell you anything about it. I don't remember a single
That's my record,
of it.
Man.
Hey, that's just like my record, man.
And then you've got your Mickey Mouse laugh or whatever he says.
Oh, God, I can't remember. How did I even get there?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, this nah, next one. This it. Next bite. All right, so far, JJ has 2 points.
Andrew
has one. Nadav has zero. I haven't stumped you guys on this one yet.
Yes.
If I stump you on anyone, it might be this one.
Okay. I'm listening.
Are they all here?
All but one.
Well, I'm going anyway. Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
JJ.
Yep.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, you can't do that.
No, you have 10 seconds.
I have 10 seconds?
9. 8.
7. Oh, I just saw it, too.
6. 5. 4.
Who's the actor?
3.
I'm not going to give. Do you know it?
No, I'm
1.
Just...
All right. Andrew has a chance to steal.
I don't have a clue.
I know the movie, and I can't remember the name, the title of it.
That well, that doesn't help you. That doesn't get you a point.
I know.
If anything, it gets me a point. Do you guys want to try it again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Are they all here?
All but one.
Well, I'm going anyway. Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
damn it, I know
I know the movie, I just can't think of the name.
Andrew Kramer versus Kramer.
I am not fucking with you.
Guys, he's not fucking with you.
I cannot.
But he is.
And I just saw it recently because everybody's like, oh, it's so good.
I remember I specifically sent you the monologue to this like a year ago because I was like, bro, you need to watch this. This is the monologue of monologues.
I know, and I still didn't like the movie.
Well, you know, that's two runs. That's two runs. Do you guys want a third one? Or is that not going to help you? I don't think it's going to help.
It's not going to help me.
Let's just listen one more time. Three.
One more time?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Are they all here?
All but one.
Well, I'm going anyway. Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers.
Is it Wall Street?
It's got Jack Lemmon.
It is Wall Street.
Well, it's sort of.
It's a Wall Street movie. Kind of.
Yeah. They mention it in Wall... Well, they mention it in Boiler Room, and I believe they mention it
in
Wall Street.
I'm here from downtown.
Oh, God. He's got the
I'm here from...
Wait, they mention it...
He almost ruined it right now. He almost said the name of the movie.
Yeah. I believe that it starts with a G, and I cannot remember.
Yeah, you're getting warm.
Geely.
No.
You know, you already had 10 seconds. The countdown already went on you. Honestly, you shouldn't even be able to answer at this point.
Starts with a G?
Yeah. I can help you get points. How about that? That's fair, well, right?
And it has Jack Lemmon, though?
You have 10 Mississippis to get this.
Okay,
one Mississippi. Two Mississippi.
Gray, Grand, Mississippi. Grand.
Four Mississippi.
Glover, no.
Black, Grit.
Six
Mississippi.
Gargantuan. Gubernatorial.
Something ner.
Good brother.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Damn it!
Come on, guys.
Yeah. See, okay. It was weird. It's a weird name. It's not like Glengarry. Anyway, I knew the movie. I just couldn't think of the title.
I don't know if that one's from your guys' childhood, but definitely from your young adulthood.
Oh, not even then. That's like.
That was before your time?
That was like a year ago when I watched that movie.
Oh, right.
Seriously.
Well, but when it came out?
It was like 92. I was like 12.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was early.
Maybe it early.
I think it was early 90s, late 80s.
Well, 92 would be early 90s.
Yep, that would fall in that window.
Yeah.
Was that when we were at Disneyland together?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why we didn't watch
Correct.
It. Okay, what's the next one?
All right, guys, this is the last one.
I have 2 points. You have one, and you have one.
And I have one.
This could be a...
This is the most interesting outcome we've had so far.
Yeah, out of the two.
The two times
of the two times we did. All right, guys, here's the last bite.
Okay.
Here's the last bite. Mm-hmm. Now, this is from my childhood.
Hey! You're talking to my guy all wrong. It's wrong tone. Do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Is this true romance? JJ, is this true romance?
False. False. Mm.
I know the actor, although I can never remember his name.
Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that gets you 0 points. Here it is again.
Hey! You're talking to my guy all wrong. It's wrong tone. Do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Oh, there's a dog.
Now, here's what
Who's
you could do.
Dog?
Here's what you could do
Is
for brownie
Benji?
Points. Here's what you could do for brownie points.
Mm-hmm.
You can give me your best Christopher Walken impression. And here's the thing. Each of you have an opportunity, and the winner will get one additional point.
Funny that you said this, because I actually tried a Christopher Walken impression yesterday.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Why do I have to go first?
Because I've already guessed.
Well, who's going to who's going to anchor it? Whose impression is? I'm guessing Andrew's impression is good.
I don't know.
All right, let's start with Andrew.
What
and
do
then
I
we'll
have
anchor
to say?
With JJ.
What do I have to say?
Yeah, any Christopher Walken. You know what? Why don't you say this?
Say the line.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, let me hear it one more time.
You're coming at my guy all wrong. You see? Coming at me again? I'm going to slam your face with a soldering iron.
Hey. You're talking to my guy all wrong. It's wrong tone. Do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
You know what? That is a dead ringer. If I close my eyes, I'd be like, whoa, was that the show dog or was that Andrew the dog?
Creative.
JJ, let's hear yours.
Oh, I don't get it. All right.
You're coming at my guy all wrong. What else are you saying?
Hey. You're coming at my guy all wrong.
Hey,
it's wrong tone. You do it again, I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
You're coming at my friend all wrong.
You're coming at my friend all wrong.
You do it again, I will stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
I have a Christopher Walken story.
Okay, well, before you get to it, it was from Joe Dirt.
Oh, man.
Joe Dirt, guys.
Oh, I love that movie.
Christopher Walken story. Let's
I forgot he was even in that. He's so a friend of mine was doing a movie with him. And
doing a picture?
He was doing a picture with him. And a talkie. And at rap, he said, Christopher Walken says, he's walking around the crew. He's going, I'm having a party. Come over whenever you want. Come over at 9 o'clock.
Bring a can of soup.
Yeah. And so I said, should we bring anything? Whatever. Bring whatever you want. You know what? Bring a can of tomato bisque. And they're like, what the fuck? Okay. So he shows up at Christopher Walken's place, and he has in the entryway, it's just a pyramid of cans of tomato bisque. And by the way, this story has been verified independently by like three other people who worked on the movie and were at this party. And they're like, what's going on? So he walks in and he's like chatting with people. And they're like, where's Christopher? Like, oh, he's upstairs. Like, go up and say hi. So they go upstairs and they're led into a giant bathroom that has like a jacuzzi tub in it. And Christopher Walken is sitting in the tub with like three or four women in bikinis. And the tub is filled with tomato bisque.
No way.
And he goes, hey, we're making girl soup.
No way.
Dave Thurlow will tell you.
We're making girl soup.
Yeah.
Now say it with the Christopher Walken accent.
Hey, we're making girl soup.
Like, hey, you're coming in this room all wrong. See, me and my girls, we're making tomato soup.
You're like a televangelist.
God, I'm not doing it. I went through a phase where I'd be able to do
that. Yeah, that sounded
that's
like
a killer dog, Andrew.
Well, remember when we were at the British Film Festival doing the red carpet and we were getting lessons on how to do a good Christopher Walken impression?
I do remember him.
What are the do you guys remember any of the lessons?
He said something about the breathiness.
Well, because actually that's how Christopher Walken, I remember, I think I saw him in the actor studio with him. Or something where it was explained why he says things the way that he does. And the reason he does is because the way that he'd memorize his lines, he'd remember it in like four or five word chunks. So he would do those four or five words.
Interesting.
Take a beat, do the next four or five words, take another beat, and do it that way.
I wonder why he's the one that's mimicked so much.
Because no one else does it like that.
Nobody talks like that normally.
It's
it would be interesting to hear him in an interview and see if he actually talks like that.
We know what they say. They say do things wrong often enough and it becomes a style.
Huh. I've been doing a style my whole entire life.
This is one of the most stylistic podcasts then, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Are we even recording this?
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.